Well, Lord, we just now pray for, Lord, just your presence, your word, and make it a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. May we hide it in our heart, Lord, that we may not sin against you. Amen. I've been thinking this verse in, for a week or so in Matthew chapter 13, and when Jesus, he would stop and just give these parables about the kingdom of God. And it said that he always spoke in parables to them, you know. Parables is just a little story, we know that, trying to explain something. And then one part of this, he said, he spoke another parable to them. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened. And he said, these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and he did not speak to them without speaking a parable. I always wondered why he did that. But of course, you know, when he was given these parables, people would just look at him like, okay, not really understanding what he was saying, but it would stir something in them. So like his disciples would always come back and say, now, what exactly did you mean by that? Or, you know, it would just cause people to think, I need to look into this a little further, right? But this one I've been kind of stuck on because, you know, leaven, of course, is yeast, right? And evidently 3 pecks is a lot because I was looking that up today. I didn't know how much a peck was. And it's 4 pecks to a bushel. Did y'all know that? You do now. So a bushel of flour is a lot, right, for you to put that in. Now, I think this can represent a lot of things, what these three, why it was three. Three pieces of leaven or 3 pieces of yeast, which would, the whole thing would become leaven, right? Yeast does that. You put it in there and it spreads. Even Scripture talks about a little leaven. Leaven's the whole lump with us, you know, but in that sense, kind of negative. Be careful what you entertain because you entertain a little bit, it can consume you, right? In the same sense that whatever it is in here about the kingdom of God, it's supposed to consume us. Take over, right? The good news is if you're a believer, you already have that leaven in you, okay? You don't have to do anything to try to get it. You have it. But I really believe what he means by this is, and it could go real deep, could be the Trinity, but there are 3 elements to the kingdom of God that'll make it essential working in your life, right? Find them in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, very last verse. They are faith, hope, and love. Right? Because if you're going to operate in faith, we were talking about this yesterday, Bishop was, about the faith of a child. Right? You won't operate in a lot of faith if you don't have hope. Right? Key ingredient. Romans chapter 15 calls God the God of all hope. The God of all hope who gives perseverance, okay? He's called the God of hope. So the God of hope has put hope in you, right? He just wants this hope as a leaven to grow in you and to begin to consume you, right? Where it becomes such a part of your life that that's just normal, okay? Hebrews chapter 6, it talks about hope being the anchor of your soul. That hope anchors you. Okay? In other words, without hope, you're going to always be drifting. Okay? And we can find that in not just in our spiritual life that we drift a lot, you know, that we're in and out. It can mean that too, but it also can mean on a daily basis you're just always drifting, you know. Have to be reeled back in. And hope does that. Hope, like, anchors the soul. And of course, love is love does so much with us, and that's what we're going to talk about in a minute. And Ron kind of confirmed the second half of this by when the gospel reading he read. So perfect love casts out fear. You can't operate in faith if you have fear. They're the two opposite. The opposite of faith is not as much unbelief as it is fear, right? That has to be cast out. before you start really operating in faith. So if you're operating in faith and there's hope there, then you will operate in love, right? Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, faith works through love, okay? But I was thinking about this story today because I started off reading reading Psalm 34, which is awesome, right? That's kind of familiar to us. I'll get there in a second. I'm going to mark this place in Samuel first. Then we'll go to Psalm. Familiar verses. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. Magnify the Lord with me. And I sought the Lord. You know, you've read these verses before, I'm sure. I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him in radiance. Their faces will never be ashamed. And Bishop talked about that a while back, that this actually takes away our shame face. In this chapter, O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed are those who take refuge in him. Another verse that we see. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. Just really cool stuff. And many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. All right? This was written at a time when, right after, Saul tried to kill David. Right after David killed Goliath, they were just rejoicing over that, you know, and they came up with this little song. You know, Saul has killed his thousands, David has killed 10,000s. And all of a sudden, Saul becomes jealous of David. And he has David in his house, loves him, and all of a sudden he just turned on him, right, and wanted to kill him. And Scripture says that an evil spirit came upon Saul, and so David ends up running away, fearing his life, okay? And then he came to this place called Nob, to this Ahimelech, who was a priest, and David was hungry, and he kind of tricked him, lied to him, told him that he was a messenger of Saul. And so what ended up happening is he gave him the consecrated bread, and David ate that bread, right? And then he gets Goliath's sword that's kept there, runs off. Next thing he does, he shows up to this city called Gath, and once again, that thing is mentioned. Hey, this is David. And he mentions that thing. Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And then David starts acting like he's crazy. Starts running around like a madman. He was terrified. He thought his life was over. And so he was scraping, clawing, thinking, the thing that came to his mind, all right, if I act like I'm crazy, they'll just let me go. And sure enough, they did. Like, you know, get out of here. He's mad. So, right after that experience, David writes Psalm 34. So, somewhere in there, he had an encounter with God. It's usually those encounters when the things that we struggle with the most surface. That's the best time, y'all, to have an encounter with God. Right? Because in that, Psalm 34, there's another verse. I didn't have time to read the whole thing. But he said, angels of God encamp around those who fear him. How did he know that? Well, God told him that. You know, can't you just hear the Lord? Who are you afraid of, David? Who are you running from? Don't you know my angels encamp around you? And the Lord delivers me from all my afflictions. What are you struggling with? Okay? So, if you can kind of put the two together, what I'm talking about, that's how this leaven that God put within you starts taking over. The principles of the kingdom become a reality to you, but sometimes they won't until you have an experience like David does. God will kind of run you into things that just surface a lot of fear in you. Right? Have you found that to be true? So if you can see, well, what's going on? Why are you doing this, God? What's going on with me? Well, he's just, those things he put in you, faith, hope, and love, are growing. The love is casting out the fear. Well, I didn't know I had so much fear in me. There's probably a lot more in there than you think. Because sometimes the Lord just does that, you know. Really cool time. It's an awesome time. I'm just, you know, in my walk with the Lord. He's just kind of showing me how deep some things go in me. Like, oh my God, man, I thought we dealt with this before. And he's like, we dealt with about this much of it. But it goes really deep. But not in rejection. Like, Lord, I want to deal with it. So thank God that he put that in you. He put that, the leaven of faith. He put the leaven of hope. He put the leaven of love in you. Right? Because that's all that's going in you. That process, that actually it's a fermenting process with the yeast that goes on with you, in you. Amen. The Lord bless us. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.